I was asked by some people, even on Sunday a few days ago, how long would this service go? Because some of us have places to go after this and people to see. So 11:30 is in my sights. We're trying to get done around 11:30 or maybe just a little after. We'll see how it goes. And I don't want to say that because I'm trying to rush. I do want to say that because I am aware, even though I'm a pastor, I'm aware of dynamics in our lives, right? And maybe sometimes how you're listening to me, you know. The clock and Pastor Yo. I'm hoping we have some time after the message to maybe share a few testimonies about what Christmas means to you, or a response to the sermon, to the message. So I'm hoping we have a few minutes maybe for some of us to give some words of encouragement, or what does this Christmas mean to you, or what's happening in your heart, what's God doing in your heart, even this Christmas season. And I'm really thankful how we began the church service with Merry Christmas in different languages. And I shouldn't be shocked, but, well, I'm not really shocked, I'm just intrigued by what God did this morning bringing us together. You know, we are from, many of us from the greater Vancouver area, so places like Surrey and Vancouver and North Van and other places close by, New West and other places. But then I met someone this morning from Victoria and Kelowna. And I know there's at least one person here from Ontario. And then last night, and also this morning, there's someone who's just been in Canada for 20 days. Just came from Eastern Europe, I believe. I met someone this morning, has been in Canada for a while, but is from Switzerland. And his question this morning is, what's a Christmas service in Burnaby? Is it different than Switzerland? Is it similar? So he's here kind of, you know, how's this going to go? What's it like here? And then also people from Ireland, all the way from Ireland. So I'm amazed. I know we're from even farther places, but I'm amazed what God has done this morning in bringing us from almost the corners of the earth to this room this morning to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Before I bring the scripture reading and the message, let me pray and ask for God's blessing on the reading and the speaking this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the source of all good, and we sometimes wonder, what can we give you? What can we bring you on a day like today for the giving of your own dear Son? So we ask that you would enlarge our minds. Help us, O Lord, to believe and to rejoice, and to praise and adore you. In some sense, place us there by the manger. Place us with the shepherds, or place us with the wise men, or maybe even place us with the animals, that we might see Jesus and see in him our salvation. Let us, like Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna, grasp the newborn child in our hearts. Embrace him with undying faith, rejoicing that he is ours and we are his. Through Jesus, O God, you have given us so much that heaven can give us no more. And we say glory, glory, glory to you, O triune God, for this great gift and this great salvation. We pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the very beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light has shone in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to the light so that all might believe through his testimony. He himself, John, was not the light, but came only as a witness to the lights. The true light that gives life to all mankind was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not even recognize him. He came to his own, even to his own hometown, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of a human decision or a father's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this is the one that John talked about. John said of this one that the one who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Because the law came through Moses, certainly, but grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And this is the Word of God. Now, this morning, for those of us who have been in Nelson Avenue the last few weeks, we have heard this passage now the sixth time. The four Sundays of Advent and last night's Christmas Eve service and this morning's Christmas Day service, as James and Harriet and I have recited this passage. This is the introduction to the Gospel of John. It is John's way of telling the Christmas story, but it is best of all a great prologue or introduction to the person and ministry of Jesus. And I always feel that when we get to verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And last week, Sunday, I was trying to show that as John uses the word dwell, he's talking about a tent or a tabernacle, that God has come to live with us. As we hear about the Word becoming flesh and the Word dwelling with us, and that in the Word we have seen the glory of the one and only Son, when we get to that verse, it feels to me like we're on the top of the mountain. Like we have gone to the top and we are at the highest point or the deepest point. We are at the heart of this passage, and I'm not sure if it happens to us enough, but we're meant to be a little bit stunned, or maybe a lot stunned and dumbfounded and speechless and amazed and astonished. This should really blow our minds, that God became flesh and blood, and not only that, but through the Word becoming flesh, we have seen the glory of God. I love how the Message paraphrases this verse, and we've heard echoes of this already in the service. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that image. We saw the glory with our own eyes, John says, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. If you see the Son, you've seen the Father, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Now that should be amazing to us. And this morning I want to land for a few moments on the idea of glory. What is this glory that John is talking about? What is it that John and others have seen through Jesus the Word? And most commentators think that when John says we have seen his glory, he's almost picking up word for word a story from the Old Testament, book of Exodus, where Moses says to God, somewhat audaciously, "Let me see your glory." Now, who asks that of God? And God says, "I will," well, he doesn't say no. He says, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. But Moses, I dare not show you my face, because if I show you my face, it's all over for you. So I will show you my backside. As I pass by, I will hide you on this place in the mountain, in the rock." And as God does that, he passes by Moses and says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And so with Exodus in the background, when we hear John say, "We have seen his glory," the glory of God, the seeing of the glory of God means seeing the goodness, the compassion, the grace, the love, the faithfulness of God in Jesus Christ. So John 1:14, we have seen the glory, but also earlier passages from the service this morning have talked about glory. When the angels come, or the angel comes and the shepherds see the angel, and the Bible says the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, I know the angels are terrified, but it's supposed to be, wow, that God would be so gracious and good to bring his glory among these ordinary shepherds. And I think we should be saying, not so much like, oh, shepherds, but well, shepherds are just like us. They're going about the ordinary lives, the ordinary jobs. It's just a day like any other day, and the glory of God shows up. And the angels say, glory to God, which means for them, praise to God, because we can't believe what God's doing. We can't believe that God would orchestrate him coming to this earth. And later on in the book of Luke chapter 2, Simeon seeing the baby Jesus and saying, this will be the glory of Israel, this little baby. And we've heard glory in our songs during the Advent season, but also this morning, angels from the realms of glory. And we sang in a couple of languages, glory to God. And we sang about the shepherds watching their flocks and the glory shone around. And later on, we'll talk about the angels, sing about the angels saying glory to the newborn king. And all these songs so full of glory. And I think about the languages we speak. A lot of languages, like English and Romanian and Spanish and French, picking up, I think it is the Latin. That was probably the first, maybe goes back further, but something about glory or gloria. This morning I was talking to someone wondering, what's the Dutch word for glory? And this Dutch expert, I was a little surprised. I was waiting for a different word, but this Dutch expert said, it's glory. So I kept asking, well, what if you wanted to sing a song about glory to God in Dutch? Would you say glory? Wouldn't you say ere? Say God? Oh yeah, well, that's a different kind of glory. That's a different kind of glory. And then I said, well, how about the word heerlijkheid, which in the Google Translator, that was their translation for, well, that's a different kind of glory. That's the heavenly glory. And we realize that sometimes translating words, glory, in a different languages can be a little challenging. But whatever language you speak, when we say glory, if you say glory, I don't know if you say glory a lot, but when we say glory, we're typically talking about something beautiful, wonderful, but also, I think, something that we could not do. That's what we mean by glory. So when we see a sunrise, and this morning, you know, glorious, on a Christmas day in Burnaby, we get to see the sun. That's glorious. And we say glory at a sunrise because of the beauty, but also because I couldn't do that. I can't make that happen. Or sometimes we see a painting and we say, glorious, beautiful, wonderful, but I couldn't do that. There's maybe only one person in the history of all humankind who could paint like that. Or when people like me who can't really play instruments, we try. We try and sing, but we go to a concert or an orchestra or we hear someone really sing. We say, glory, wonderful, awesome. But also because I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. And that's also the message of the Christmas story. That shepherds see glory and angels sing about glory and Simeon points to glory because we can't do this. We can't make this happen. God has to come down. God has to come and bring his son. God has to come and bring his glory because we could not make this happen on our own. So glory is the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God landing on the earth. It is found in the Christmas story. We sing in our Christmas hymns. Different languages have different expressions of this word glory. But glory is also this response, this awe to what God has done. And earlier this week, I was reading an article about glory, and the definition this author said was that the glory of God is the weight or the heaviness of the majestic goodness of who God is and the resulting name or reputation that he gains from revealing himself as creator, sustainer, judge, and redeemer, perfect in justice and mercy, loving kindness and truth. And the author went on to say and suggest, and I think he's right, that if God had only created, if there had never been a fall into sin, we would have only seen one part of the glory of God, that God is powerful, great, strong, he can create. But after humankind fell into sin, we see in other parts of the glory of God that God is able to be merciful and forgive and save and overcome evil. And when we see Jesus, I think John's saying he picks up the language of the creation. In the beginning was the Word, but he also points us to that this child will save us. He's trying to say, if you want to see the full glory, the full goodness of God, see the creation and see the salvation. If you want in your heart to shout or to sing or to song in response to God's glory, you have to see Jesus as both involved in making the world, but also through his life and death and resurrection, remaking or recreating the world. And this morning, I want to encourage us in that. We've done that already, but I want to encourage us to be people who, when we see or savor or relish or delight the glory of God in Jesus, we're responding in song. So this year at Nelson Avenue, our theme was Sing to the King. And I regret that I did not, on the first Sunday of Advent, say, here's an idea. Let's all go through the Advent season, hearing the songs, hearing the story, and let's all of us sing a song of response. Create, make, write. Let's each one of us come with a response of song or poetry or something. Now, I know that not all of us are Dale Lund. Now, Dale Lund's our worship director. This guy is unbelievable at writing songs. He wrote a song that we sang last night that's just like 10 days old. He just wrote it a couple Sundays ago. So he is able to do this. But I think more of us, actually I think all of us have capacity to respond in song or poetry or words to what God has done. And I want to encourage us in that. I know it sounds a little crazy because, first of all, not all of us like to sing or are able to sing. And most of us think, I can't do that. But I want to encourage you. This day, tomorrow, I love Boxing Day. Because for me, it's like it's all sort of done again for a year. And it's just like, And if you're like me, on a day like tomorrow, when you're, just find a few minutes somewhere by yourself or maybe with someone else who's willing to, and just say, let's try and write something ourselves. Let's try a little refrain or a chorus or a song in response to what God has done. Because I see it throughout the Christmas story. Simeon, shepherds, angels, Zechariah, and Mary, they all come with a song. Now I know some of you are saying, that's crazy. But for those of you who are willing, and even for those of you who are not willing, I want to say, consider this. Before New Year's Day, even a two-line little something. I've gone through this whole season of Advent, and at least for Nelson Avenue, the theme was Sing to the King, that we've been singing and maybe shouting and songing, a new word I made this morning, songing to Jesus. Now, could I write a line or two myself in response to all that God has done for me and for us? And that's for me the power, one of the powers of song. It allows us to, we see glory and we respond with song or words to what God has done.